I'm Mike Sweeney. This is the Simplified Body Podcast.
What's going on, folks? Mike Sweeney back with another episode. Just out walking the dog on the daily walk. Beautiful day today, but that's not what I wanted to talk about. So, been a bit of a gap between the last episode and this one, largely explained by the fact that, we had a little baby. So, our son arrived 3 weeks ago. So, yeah, just been really super busy with that. So, back in the game today. And today's topic is a big one. I think probably not going to make me any friends in the fitness industry. If you're a personal trainer, you're probably not going to like it. But what I'm about to share with you is truth. And the topic is accountability and why accountability doesn't work, especially in fitness. Now, I say you're probably not going to like me after this episode, largely because if you're in the fitness industry, then you already know that, or if you're a trainer, there's a high probability that you sell your services on the basis of accountability. Most trainers seem to do this, most coaches do this. They tell people that, you know, you get a high level of accountability, and that means that your clients, in theory, are more likely to do what they said they would do, get the result, everybody wins, etc., etc. And I've thought long and hard about this because, you know, I've been coaching people for quite a number of years now, 8 years already. And I know a lot of trainers, work with a lot of trainers via my nutrition system and the courses that I've provided over the years, etc. And I'm also part of a business mastermind group myself. And the thing that I've noticed is that accountability doesn't work. It doesn't work in the business mastermind group that I'm in my opinion. And I'll explain why in a second. It doesn't work in fitness. Every time, like with my clients, the ones who, and I have quite a high adherence rate to my programs, which is not unusual, but Most trainers and coaches seem to have about a 40-50% success rate. And mine's closer to that 80% mark. But I've just noticed that over the years, my clients who've got the best results aren't, like, they didn't get the best results because of the accountability. Like, that wasn't the deciding factor. And like I said, I've thought a lot about this recently. And, you know, like when we look at the research in terms of weight loss specifically, but even in terms of, you know, there's a lot of research done around sort of business success and that kind of stuff, right? And there's lots of books being written about being successful as a broad sort of term. And when you read those books, when you look at that research, especially in the weight loss sort of field, the most successful weight loss studies, the patients, that's my clinical side coming out, but the people in those studies who have the most success, it's not because of accountability, right? And researchers have looked at the factors in weight loss over the short and long term that help people to be successful, to both lose the weight and also to keep it off. And amongst those factors, accountability isn't mentioned. Like, it's not a factor when we look at the research on, you know, why are people successful? What helps them become successful, right? And there's lots of different ways you could look at this. So there's the National Weight Control Registry, right? And they've been doing that research project for years and years and years, looking at people who have lost weight and kept it off like 3, 4, 5 years or more. And these are people who have lost 20 kilos, 30 kilos or more, and they've kept it off. And I think they've got a list. I can't remember the entire list, but there's like a list of 10, 11, 12 things that these people seem to do, right? So like one of them, for example, is lots of it's like habit based. So one of them is like, you know, they exercise every day or regularly. They, you know, they eat breakfast typically. And that makes sense from a controlling hunger perspective, not because breakfast is the most important meal of the day, but if you're overweight, if your clients are overweight and they have a tendency to overeat, then having a high protein breakfast can be really good just to dampen down the hunger for the rest of the day. So that's why that's probably on the list. But those are the kinds of things that are on the list. Nowhere on the list of these people who have lost all of this weight and kept it off for a long time, which is unusual, most people don't manage it, nowhere on the list is that they had accountability. Right? Nowhere on the list. Now, when we look at the published literature, because the National Weight Control Registry is more of a long-term data collection type exercise, not a published study as such. So when we look at the published literature in this area, again, accountability isn't a factor. Most of the weight loss studies, at least the most successful ones, one of the factors, for example, is with people in the average population, if they have long-term support of a qualified clinician, you know, dietitian, nutritionist, etc., then they tend over the long term to be on average more successful. And it's easy to look at that and go, oh, they had accountability because they went to the group every week, or they checked in with a dietitian every 3 months, or whatever it is. But if you know anything about the way clinicians work, you know, nutritionists working in a clinical sense, dietitians, most of these studies use dietitians. Obviously, I am a dietitian, so got a fairly good insight. But if you know anything about the way they work, they don't hold people accountable like you think, or in the way most of the fitness industry seems to be selling this idea of accountability. Yes, they help them, they guide them, they support them. But like, it's not working. It's working for those reasons. It's not working because of anything to do with accountability. And this makes perfect sense, because if you look up the definition of accountability, which I have, and it doesn't matter which dictionary you look at, but if you look up the definition of accountability, then you'll see the main definition is responsibility and or being answerable, right? So responsibility and or being answerable. So if you think about that first one, right, because that's mainly what accountability is, it's responsibility. Now, in the context of weight loss, the only person responsible for like the results is the person who's trying to lose weight. It's their responsibility to do the work required to get the result that they want to get. In my experience, like most, and I've gone through this myself, I think most trainers or coaches sometimes, and this was me in the very beginning, this made my job as a nutrition coach very stressful in the beginning, because I thought it was my responsibility to provide my clients with results. And it's taken a long time to realize that that's actually not true, right? My responsibility is to assess where they're at right now, show them the path to where they want to go, show them how to get there, help guide and support them to get there. And that's my responsibility. It's their responsibility as the client to do the work required, right? And it's really common, for example, and you've probably had clients say this about your programs, but people say it all the time, where, you know, people will say, oh, I tried XYZ fat loss program and the program didn't work for me. Like, that one didn't work, right? And that sounds like such a simple, it's super common to hear But when you really think about it, what that is that's that individual absolving themselves of responsibility. That's exactly what it is, right? Because again, if you look at the weight loss literature, the research literature, all weight loss programs work, all of them, even the bad ones, right? And for me, the definition of a bad weight loss program is not that it doesn't work, because they all work. For me, a bad weight loss program is one that isn't sustainable, right? So things like when I see people promoting ketogenic diets for fat loss, it's like, cool, like that definitely works. Like I've personally done that. But for most people, at least most people live in real lives, right? Like if you're a personal trainer, it's a little bit different, you know, because you might feel it's your job to be in shape, etc. But for most people, leading a real life, sticking to a ketogenic diet permanently to stay in ketosis is not sustainable. Yes, you can lose a bunch of weight doing it. Yes, you can lose a bunch of body fat doing it. Yes, there are some health benefits to doing so. Yes, your performance will be crappy if performance matters to you. But at some point, like you might be able to stick to it for 6 weeks, 12 weeks, maybe even 6 months if you're really, really determined to prove everybody wrong that this high-fat thing can actually work. But at some point, you're going to reintroduce the carbs, right? So that's why for me, like that for me is the definition of a bad approach to weight loss, a bad approach to getting in shape, a bad approach to nutrition. But the fact of the matter is they all work. Like every single one of these programs works. So when a person says, oh, I tried that program, it didn't work, right? That's actually not true. What they're really saying without realizing it is, I didn't stick to that program. Now that might be because the program's too difficult to implement. You know, like if the average busy mum, right, like a 40-year-old mum who's busy with a job, etc., if she tries to do like a physique transformation program that's designed for bodybuilders, right, she's going to find it really, really hard to implement that, because obviously that tends to be a lot stricter. They'll be training probably every day, etc., etc. But it still stands that it's not the program that didn't work. It's just that she failed to implement it. And all of those reasons would be completely valid, but ultimately she failed to implement that program. So by her saying, I tried that program, it didn't work, I need to find a new program, right? People are just absolving themselves of responsibility. So hopefully, I know that's a tough thing and it seems like minutiae really, but it's like it's really, really not. So the only person responsible for the results are the clients. To get the result, obviously they need to do the work. And then it's your job as the coach, the trainer, the nutritionist, however you want to call yourself, to obviously help them get started, guide them on that path, support them, make it as easy as possible for them, make it doable. And then that's your job done. And ultimately, like I said, it's their responsibility to crack on. So accountability then, mainly responsibility. If we look at the other definition of accountability, and that's being answerable, right? And I think this is where most fitness industry type people, and at least most people who call themselves coaches, like business coaches, life coaches, all of these people, right? They'll mostly sell it on the basis of, I'll hold you accountable, therefore you will get better results, right? And when you really think about that, like that fits with the definition. Okay, so you're making this person answerable to you. But when you really think about that, right? Like without consequences, that doesn't work. And so the example I've got for you is think about speeding tickets, right? So if you drive too fast on a given road, you get a fine, right? Now, if every time you drove too fast on the road, motorway, whatever, you were doing over the speeding limit, if every time that happened, all you had to do was get on the phone with a police officer for 20 minutes and explain why you did that, right? So if I'm driving 100 mile an hour down a 30 mile an hour road, police call me up, they're like, Mike, you were speeding, we need to have a chat. get on the phone, all right, and they say, well, why be speeding? I just say, well, I don't know, just had an argument with my wife, and yeah, I was really angry, I'm really sorry, I'll not do it again. And then they go, okay, done. Right, that's being answerable, so technically that's accountability. But guess what will happen? I'll probably speed again, I'll probably speed more often. Why? Because there's no consequences attached to that. Whereas the reality of it is speeding fines work, which is why the police do them. I know people feel like, oh, it's just a money-making exercise, it doesn't work, but actually it does work, right? People still speed, etc., so they make money, blah, 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 but on average it definitely does work for its intended purpose. And the only reason for that is because there are meaningful consequences attached to obviously the act that you've just done, which is speeding, right? Everybody's focus in the world, you know, even if you pursue a job like training, nutrition, etc., to do what you love, which is what I did, I pursued nutrition and dietetics because for me that's kind of like a labor of love. Like, I'm really interested in it, have been for a long time, so I'll just happily sit and read loads of research just because I enjoy it. But at some point you need to turn that into a living, you need to earn money, right? And you know, obviously some people feel like money's hard to earn, etc., so when you get fined money for something, right, that becomes really like a really good way of controlling